need for system change showed up to be the best disaster first responders. Those people were from Occupy Sandy. They were already organizing in the communities, most marginalized communities that were hit, that are going to be on the front lines of the climate crisis, that already are. So you really see people filling in the gaps for the retreat of government, this ideological project of the last three, 4 decades, and people naming and shaming the core logic of our economic system. We got to change everything.
That does it for our show, but we're going to do a post show and we'll post online at democracynow.org. Avi Lewis, director, Naomi Klein, writer, and on whom the film is based. She's the narrator of the film, This Changes Everything. It's opening in New York tonight at the IFC Theater and then all over the country. Happy birthday to Becca Staley. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Nermeen Sheikh, Sam Alkoff, Robbie Caron, Steve Martinez. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Our website, democracynow.org.
This is KBOO Portland. Stay tuned. Coming up, it's Positively Revolting. Ani and Lynn look at human rights abuses that are rampant throughout much of the world, the U.S. included.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of How We Got On at the Portland Playhouse, Wednesday through Sundays until October 25th. Directed by Jen Rowe, How We Got On is the story of three teenagers in the suburbs of the Midwest who dream of fame in the golden age of hip-hop in the late 80s. That's How We Got On, Wednesdays through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. through October 25th at the Portland Playhouse, 602 Northeast Prescott Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Hip-hopping is the thing that's in. It's where the Stone Cold Nitro party begins. So listen, party people with the ear to the street, the college professor and the social elite, to the fly young guys and the pretty girl. IT is going to tell you about the hip-hop world. Hip-hopping is a way of life.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the opening of Mommy, an exhibit at Yale Union, Saturday, October 10th at 4 p.m. Mommy is a group exhibition featuring work by Lutz Bacher, Sonia Hamilton, Diane Simpson, and more, including a performance by Corinne Schneider. The show opens October 10th at 4 p.m. and will be up through December 20th. Again, that's Mommy at the Yale Union, 800 Southeast 10th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.
Thank you.
And good morning, good morning. It's about 4 minutes after 8 o'clock this morning, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Positively Revolting, and I'm Ani.
And I'm Lynn.
And sadly, there may be some more of that happening this morning as I've gotten my fall voice back.
Your Brenda McCarl voice.
Yes, yes. It's like that. Today, Lynn and I decided that things are dire fairly much around the world, and certainly that includes here in the U.S. when it comes to human rights situations. Throughout much of the world, there are abuses that are horrifying, and it seems to me that we often end up turning a blind eye to them because, in fact, they're overwhelming. We don't want to look at the details. We don't want to believe people actually do these things to each other. But in fact, it's important to note that they do, that even though the UN has passed conventions on human rights, even though nations have signed on to them saying, yes, we will treat our fellow humans with some modicum of compassion, that we will not torture, that we will not wrongfully convict, that we will not pressure prosecutors to wrongfully convict, that we will not, even though it doesn't actually seem like that's happening. It seems, in fact, quite the opposite as we look at many cases at home and abroad today.
On this, October 2nd, Wrongful Conviction Day. That's a hashtag right. For that. Go for it.
So that is our topic. Dear listeners, we invite you to call in with your observations and also with what you're doing about it. There are, of course, two exemplary organizations that try to keep us abreast and try to focus international pressure to bring relief to these situations. I'm talking about Amnesty International, and I'm talking about Human Rights Watch. Those two organizations do so much to keep our attention focused in hot spots around the globe. But of course, they are not the only ones. So again, please, listeners, call with your ideas and what you are doing to try to keep this in your mind and what kind of actions, if any, you are able to take.
I got really lost in the Innocence Project last night, which is a great, they're on Facebook, they're everywhere. And these are the folks trying to get people who have been wrongly convicted. I didn't get as international as I wanted to because I got lost in the United States because we've got, we have all kinds of records. Like we have more children in prison than any other country.
We're number one.
We're number
one.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's it. And the Innocence Project is a really great site. And there's a lot of visual things and people telling their stories who have been convicted. There's Ricky Jackson, a fellow who was sent to prison for 39 years. Now, some of you have not even been on the planet for 39 years. He was sent to prison in 75, and it's interesting what people talk about when they come out. And one of his things was, wow, because that's a piece of time travel when you think about it. You've been
absolutely
incarcerated for since 1975. And he said, this technology thing, he said, people don't talk to each other anymore. Interesting. He also, which you would have to do, I guess, has he's sort of lost his bitterness because if he didn't, he'd end up like Chris Harper Mercer or something like that, who is one of the things we really want to dovetail today, too, because we figure folks need to talk about what happened in Roseburg yesterday, the tragedy with the shooting of 13, is it just 13 people now, or is it up from that? I don't know. 10 people
were killed. The last I read, which was, I don't know, around 1 o'clock this morning, there were 10 people that were
killed.
Okay.
Guns.
Horrifying.
Horrifying. Really. Horrifying. The crime rate in the United States is huge. And of course, once again, this guy is not called a terrorist. He's just a nice white guy with a gun.
He's a disturbed lone wolf individual.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, so how does that actually, and here's another one way that dovetails is looking at the media treatment and the security responses to, of course, the vast majority of mass shooters being white men, who are all sort of considered these lone wolves, rogues, and disturbed individuals. But if a, say, Muslim man was to do anything.
Holy cow.
Then we look at national security alerts. We look at increases in, you know, talk of terrorism and foreign threats. And we look at, like, military responses. But the incidents of Muslim men shooting people in this country are minute in comparison. I'm going to say any shooting of somebody is wrong, okay? I'm not justifying that, you know, it's okay if somebody other than a white guy shoots someone. No, that's not okay. I'm just looking at the disparity in responses and how our response to shooters that are not white actually jeopardizes the civil and human rights of people in this country who are not white. That's the tie-in I'm making.
And I want to put the question of guns out there, too. I was listening to the BBC way late in the night last night, and they seemed particularly on this because Mr. Harper Mercer was of British descent. Sorry, Ani.
It all happens.
And that's sort of shocking to them. Anyway, I drew a blank. Okay. Anyway.
How late up? How up late were you?
I was up too late. Oh, I know. There was a woman, so they're, you know, interviewing folks from the college in Roseburg, and there were a bunch of people saying, if we just had been all carrying guns, this would never have happened. Like, I don't know how, did they not see this? Did they not remember old Westerns where when everybody's shooting, there's even more death and destruction?
Does seem that way. Although
yeah, we
that
would have just popped him out right away.
That is the NRA's general response, is the answer to a bad man with a gun are many, many, many more guns. Good men
with guns.
Yes. Which, at the face of it, really is insane. I'm just going to say. I'm just going to put that out there. So, there are, goodness gracious golly.
That's not me. So this morning, we really want to hear.
Holiday sales, they come right up whether you want them to or not on your laptops. Isn't that fabulous?
So give us a call this morning at 503-231-8187. What are your feelings about human rights abuses? How do you feel about what happened in Roseburg? And guns.
Well, and beyond how you feel about human rights abuses, let's look at some cases of human rights abuses. We can talk about the Innocence Project. Everything old is new again, right? Mm-hmm. I spent my high school years studying, because I was a kind of morbid kid. Okay, fine. I spent my high school years studying the Middle Ages. And I was a little fascinated by the Inquisition and wondering how on earth this ever happened, because I was also, you know, a teenager and therefore naive and hadn't realized things like this happen quite a lot, apparently. And when I say things like this, I mean forced confessions under torture and then needing to pay for your own imprisonment and taking money out of your estate to pay for your own imprisonment, right up to and including the wood to burn you or the rope to hang you. And so I was just like, oh my God, this is horrible. It's happening, right? It's actually happening now. It's happening in the U.S. It is not something from the 1460s in England anymore. You know, forced confessions under torture, paying for your own imprisonment, not just for the Inquisition anymore. It's here and it's now and it's happening, right? We have seen innumerable examples brought forward by the Innocence Project and other investigative reporters of people, often teenagers, who are arrested for heinous crimes, who are put in a room and interrogated for 12 hours without access to family or lawyers, who are told ridiculous things like, if you just confess, if you just sign this confession, you can go home and sleep in your own bed tonight, crying 15-year-old boy. Wouldn't you like that? Are you gonna, what are you gonna do? You gonna sign this? And after, some hours of being bullied by police in a terrifying situation without access to a parent or a lawyer, and you sign that confession because for some reason you believe and you've been broken by the cop that's bullying you.
Oh, this is why... And they then, didn't have an abortion, so people could be, kids could be treated this way. Okay, oh, I'm getting it all now.
Right.
All our things.
And
we do
then just you are, in fact, imprisoned for the next 20 or 30 years of your life because you've signed a bogus confession. And even though you recant that at some point, and even
and your
though,
life is pretty much over at that point.
And even though DNA evidence does not support your guilt.
And if you ever get out, you will never get a job.
Then, how is this happening? It is happening. There's articles, you can just find, again, like Lynn was saying, the Innocence Project. There's an article in the Daily Kos that is by Sean King, and it is called The Deep, Ugly, and Nearly Unbelievable Rabbit Hole of Violence and Corruption Within the Chicago Police Department. It is mind-numbingly horrible.
I'm from Chicago,
horrible.
No surprise to me, but...
I didn't say surprising, I said horrible.
I know.
And so we'll go ahead and put that link up on our Facebook site. I want to let people know, of course, you can follow along on Facebook, where you can find us Positively Revolting, or you can or follow us in the Twitterverse at Positive Revolt. And we'll just sort of go from there.
Sounds good to me.
And
looks like we have some callers.
I do believe
James.
We do. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. I totally agree about the disparity in how things are reported. This guy, there was a discussion about it on a thread on Facebook, and you have the gun guys out there who are just like, it's not guns that kill people, it's people that kill people. And it's like, nobody's stopping to
But they do it with guns.
The guns
don't go up there with little legs and little hands and start pulling triggers.
You mean that's not what automatic means?
No.
Yeah.
No, it means that it actually has a person attached to it. Yeah.
I'm sorry, James, go on.
No, it's fine. And the thing is it's like, I own a gun. I have no problem with, I don't see any problem with owning guns. My problem is that it's the popular culture that surrounds gun ownership. Basically that, the people who own guns now, the vast majority of them are just it's an old boys white club.
Also, isn't it awfully easy to kill? Much easier to kill people with guns than say with a knife or with your bare hands.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of these guys, they're not mature. They're loud, they're boisterous. They don't know how to settle their problems except for with the show of who's got the bigger member.
So would you say there should be some restrictions on people that who can own guns?
I think that there definitely should be like a.
What did you have to do when you bought a gun?
Well, I went through the classes, got my conceal permit, I went through all the legal channels.
Okay, I'm just curious because I've never even wanted to buy a gun, so what you actually really have to do?
Yeah, you take the classes, you get your concealed carry, you go out and take a gun that's comfortable for your hands, I guess. It's really just the mindset.
Is yours an automatic?
No, it's a semi-automatic pistol.
Wow.
It's the culture behind gun ownership in this country that's the huge problem. It's like everybody just, nobody's smart enough to be able to solve problems with, you know, with words.
So doesn't that seem like you might need some restrictions on who gets to own something
totally.
So dangerous?
Totally. I think if there's a mental capacity that, you know, that you just, you know, it's like, you know, it's a, I don't know. I'm trying not to stutter here.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it's like you can't, I agree. I think that there should be, like, you should have some sort of mental health check, because people who are not mentally stable or mentally healthy should have weapons.
So that, why, you know, why do you want to own a gun? I'm just curious.
Oh, I just, I like, you know, I've shot guns almost my whole life. You know, I grew up around people who had guns. It's never really, I don't know. I like having it. I keep it. I don't carry it with me. I keep it at, you know, I keep it at home for, you know, just for defense. I don't know. I also kind of like, I don't know. I like pistols. I don't know. I don't know. I like having it, but I don't know. I guess it's just a thing that I like.
Right. Okay.
You know, okay. Well,
I don't know. It's weird. I mean, I don't claim that, you know, I don't think that everybody's going to start trying to break into my house and, you know, I need to have it at the ready. But, you know, it has crossed my mind, you know, if there was ever some sort of like home invasion situation.
Well, just make sure those people don't get it away from you. Okay.
Oh, totally.
If someone invades your home.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's, you know, people who aren't mature, people who, you know, it's like if we had more people who were out there trying to talk to folks about, you know, respond, you know, being...
Okay.
I don't know.
So
it's weird.
What I'm hearing you say is, like, really, there's the alienation and the sickness in our society that is more a problem than people's access to guns.
Yeah, I would
agree that it is a huge problem.
Yeah,
and I mean, but while we have that problem, James, don't you think that we need to do something about the access to guns? Because that problem exists, and I agree that that is a bigger problem.
Yeah.
I, unlike many of my peers, am not particularly anti-gun. I'm not particularly pro-gun. I think guns are tools. They are designed to kill people. I'm not so
and
wild about
it.
That part.
That's all they're designed
but,
for.
But I think that the sickness in our society, the cult of hyper-masculinity, the cult of alienation...
Yeah, you see, you found the words that I'm struggling
those
to find
are
for
the
some reason this morning.
Right, I get you. I get you. But I think those problems are existent, like you're saying. And since they are existent, what are we going to do about the fact that there are a hell of a lot of guns in our society when those problems exist? And I personally am not thinking, oh, yeah, well, then it's up to good people with guns to save us, because no.
No, not at all. I don't think... I mean, there's no standard for good. You can't just say good people. It's like saying bad people,
right.
You know, or trying to put a blanket statement on it. And especially when you consider that, you know, in open carry, you know, in the open carry states where the Black Panthers got started, you know, nobody saw them as good people, even though they started a lot of the programs that a lot of us take for granted nowadays, like public feeding, you know.
There's so much to be said there. I'm going to go ahead and let somebody else have a chance, though, okay?
Okay, thank you.
James, thanks a lot for your call this morning. No, thanks for your call.
Have a great one.
You too. Hey, Helen, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi. Well, I guess the woman and her son moved up there, and the mother was very overprotective of the son, number one.
Now, who are you speaking of?
The boy who died.
Chris Harper Mercer?
Yeah.
Okay.
His mother was overprotective of him.
How do we know this?
Okay. So yesterday, when we were listening or watching TV on KATU, there was a man talking, and he teaches at University of Oregon, Oregon State, and he really is wonderful, and I can't find his name or remember who he is, but he explained a lot of stuff that really, it's you should have him on KBOO to talk about it.
But we don't know his name.
Yeah, I know. I know. I haven't been able to find his name.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is that was of all, you know, like...
Was it Randy Bezek?
I don't know. He teaches at one of those schools. And talking about the boys with, you know, from the 20s to 26 or 27 who have their so much masculinity is like when they get older, maybe they learn to cry and have children and family and stuff like that. But when they're young like that, they don't know what to do with themselves in a way. So it's more than just the guns. Besides that, parents are all working and nobody spends time with their kids. And there's just it's a big problem, but it's much deeper than just talking about guns.
Yeah, I absolutely agree that guns are a part of the problem, but they are not the totality of the problem.
Right.
But they are what shoot people.
And I'm going to say, there's something that when we look at gun laws and what happens in other countries as a response to massive shootings, I'm looking at Australia, that immediately after their massive shooting several years ago, moved forward in making guns not accessible. And their gun violence has dropped dramatically, along with other forms of violence.
This always happens.
I'm just going to say it is an important part of the equation. I'm not going to say, oh yeah, guns don't matter. It's not guns that kill people. People kill people. I think that old saying is tired and really inaccurate. Let's face facts.
And maybe if we stopped having wars, that might help too.
Yeah, no. I think that there's a persistent...
There'd be less guns then too, wouldn't there?
There's a persistent level of violence in our society.
Yeah.
The glorification of war.
Yep.
The glorification of violence, the glorification of the bad cop going to extrajudicial murder because he's going to get the good guy who, you know, whatever. You know, we've seen it in all the movies. All of these things. And really, pop culture glorifies many human rights abuses.
Right.
Really, in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. From gun violence, which, you know... I'm not to the more complex, there's a lot there. And again, thank you very much for your call,
Helen.
Thank
you very much.
Bye.
Take good care. 503-231-8187, the number to call this morning. We're talking about human rights. Well, that was the show that we'd planned.
Then this thing happened.
And then this thing happened yesterday. And now we're trying to respond to that too. And in fact, these issues are not all that far from each other, right? But let's go ahead now and talk to Camilo. Good morning, Camilo.
Good morning. I have a sense that what this program is about is trying to understand the phenomena. And there was a program on KBOO on Politically Speaking with Kathleen Stevenson, which was an interview of Brad Evans, who with Henry Giroux is the author of Disposable Futures, The Seduction of Violence in the Age of Spectacle. I was so impressed by that interview because it just encompassed the history and the analysis and the prescription for these issues that we're dealing with. I got the book and downloaded it on my Kindle, and since beginning to read it, I've found that so much of all these conundrums that we're faced with is explained and analyzed and carefully exposed in this book. And I cannot recommend it more highly as a way of understanding these processes. And if you go to KBOO and you look up Positively Speaking, you can tune into that podcast of the interview.
You mean Political Perspectives?
Yes.
Very cool. Kathleen does amazing interviews.
Kathleen is amazing.
And thank you very much for calling and bringing that to our attention.
Good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So apparently we have in the United States, I was just looking at some statistics. I know it's not really a surprise to most people that we have by far and away more guns per capita than any other country in the world.
Really?
Yes.
I can't imagine.
This is...
You say.
I mean, by far, in a way, more guns and, proportionately, more gun violence.
Hmm. You think they're connected, then?
I don't know
more
if you've got
violence,
a lot of
more
them.
Guns.
If you've got a lot of them, yesterday I witnessed an arrest. It was I was driving back to my house and I saw a fellow out in the street, kind of with a red T-shirt, getting the treat. This is on Powell treating the cars like bulls. Apparently, yeah, dangerous.
Oh my.
And so I pulled in, and I noticed there was a fellow doing video, and I just pulled in, and I stood with him, and he was not from here. I'm gonna assume he was from possibly a Middle Eastern or Central Asian country, and lovely fellow, and he said to me, why are they arresting him? Why isn't he going to a mental hospital? And I explained, you know, what has happened since Reagan. He goes, everything is possible in America, isn't it?
You know.
And I said, yep, you're new here, aren't you?
I got to say, it's kind of telling when people who are not inured to our culture can comment on what they see. That's where I'll leave that. Mm-hmm. All right, and let's go ahead and take another caller, 503-231-8187, the number to call this morning to join in this conversation. You can also follow along on Facebook, I can't believe this matters to me, but it does, because in fact, the more people that like our fan page on Facebook, the bigger its reach, and the more people get exposed to these articles and, well, our conversations. And I have to say, we're just a smidge short of 600 followers on Facebook. We've got 596. Come on, people. You can like us on Facebook, Positively Revolting.
You can do it.
You can follow along on Twitter at Positive Revolt. And
Twitter followers are getting up there too, aren't they, honey?
Well, yes. Yes, they are. but go ahead and follow along, because once a week is not enough for these conversations. There's mm-hmm. a lot of information that Lynn and I throw in front of your viewing eyes on these social media sites throughout the week. And, you know, the conversation back and forth is important.
It's a community. It's the Positively Revolting community.
That's right.
On our Facebook page and be part
and,
of it.
So good morning, Frances. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
As soon as I get to a computer, I'll like you.
Okay.
Anyway, I can't believe you haven't before, Frances. You get on that.
I don't do that too much. But what I was going to say about the human rights violations, but first back to the shooting.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I think the most responsible person in the world who decides to lose it one day is going to lose it, no matter what kind of safeguards were in place to make sure that they were a responsible gun owner. So I don't know that...
Well put, Frances.
There is a point where there's too many guns. I mean, the gun merchants are just loving it, I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
And there are laws that we could put in place as far as... There's no really use for a semi-automatic weapon unless you want to blow a few people away.
Really?
You know why they need to even be on the street. And I know that young people who have fired that shot are very remorseful, and when they realize what it really meant and what it really does and what really happened, not just to them in their lives, but what happened to the person that they shot at, it's heartbreaking for them also.
Mm-hmm.
And this business of not saying this man's name, I don't understand why the sheriff down there has decided he doesn't need to say the man's name. I'm not certain what he thinks that's going to prove, because if we're ever going to find out why people do the things they do, we need to know who they were and what made them do this.
Well, this is a
and
part...
Maybe we can figure out how we should treat each yeah. other, to where maybe so many people won't be driven to do such things.
Well, I think...
That brings me back to human rights violations.
Yeah.
There are so many people right now in this country
yeah.
who are sitting right now, children, adults, in solitary confinement.
Yes.
And some have been there for months and years. And for anybody to think that's okay. I can remember one time back in college when I made a presentation about that, and I was questioned and grilled a lot about the fact that I kept talking about one child in solitary confinement. Like, that was no big deal. one child in this country sitting in solitary confinement is a big deal. And when we need to start looking at it that way, when one person's rights are violated, that's one too many if we're going to be what we say we're supposed to be. And
yeah.
I don't understand. And I think that I know people have a lot of concerns about how President Obama has dealt with wars and things, but what he feels this stuff, and he tried to tell people yesterday, and he told the media, just put the facts out there. Don't get them from me. Put the facts out there. See how many people have been killed by guns in this country, just domestically.
Yep.
It's getting to be
a monthly occurrence.
Right, or weekly. If you go to Chicago, it's every day.
Right.
Now, but what's happening in Syria is also heartbreaking.
Right.
What it reminds me of is the way gang violence was perpetrated here in this country with little COINTELPRO type things going on. To me, that's happening in Syria is just the same thing on a larger scale.
Well, and I think
the gun merchants are making things.
Right. Well, remember, after World War II when there were refugees?
Yeah.
Boats and boats and boats of refugees. Many of the grandparents that are of people now who want folks
right.
from Syria not to come over. That's when you have wars everywhere, you're going to have a shift in population. That's how that goes.
So there's going to be, I got a flyer in the mail. There's going to be a demonstration on the 11th, I believe,
mm-hmm.
a Sunday.
The cry out for justice?
It's a no war.
Yes, call out for justice, end the wars, and actually that will be our topic next week.
Cool.
So tune in.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Francis.
You're timely as
it
ever.
It comes right down to how we treat each other again, as usual.
Mm-hmm. So, and go like us, Francis.
I will.
Okay, thank you.
You take good care. 503-231-8187, the number to call this morning.
Hey, Harvey.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi. Well, I'd like to talk about guns. I don't know if I've mentioned this on your program, but, you know, when I listen to the news, there's two things that kill people, guns and cars. And the difference between them is that cars are insured and guns are not. If we had
Well,
to
one of the differences.
If you use
cars for other things besides killing people.
That's true. But if we had to pick up the tab for all the people, injuries and car accidents, it would be $1 trillion. And it's the same with guns. It turns out that a lot of the people who are shot by guns, they don't have insurance and they're low income. And the state and the country picks up the tab in terms of the hospital stay. Sometimes they even have families. They can't support their family. The whole family has to go on subsidies on Social Security. And it's us who end up paying the price, literally billions of dollars every year. And so the gun industry is the poster child of privatizing the profits and socializing the losses. And I feel now is a good time to start asking for gun insurance and let the industry harbor the costs of all this mayhem and destruction. And so, because to ask for the stop manufacturing guns, forget it. But I think that the insurance companies who, that's their business, death and destruction, they will know how to handle this. And I feel that that would be one step in perhaps securing the environment, plus the billions and billions of dollars that we pay out through our tax dollars for all this destruction.
When you say all this destruction, what do you mean?
Well, you know, like when people are shot.
By whom?
That's it. They're put out of commission for life. We lose
by whom?
A lot of times we lose everything that they could have produced in life, plus their families cannot support themselves, and then the state and the government ends up paying for all this liability.
Well, actually, the government often doesn't end up paying for it. In fact, often people are homeless after devastating events. But I hear what you're saying. I got to say, the financial responsibilities is probably about where I am the most lukewarm in my response. Because, frankly, I think, again, well...
Uninsured drivers. Let me just say uninsured drivers.
And... And
I hate to put the insurance companies in anything else.
And I guess I'm just going to say we really do want to focus on human rights. We do want to focus on how people are treating people. And really, if we're discussing gun violence, you know, I want to look at actual solutions to people feeling the need to go in and shoot up a room full of people or their families or whatever that is. I don't think that they're going to stop and go, you know, the insurance liability, I just shouldn't do this. You know, so I thank you very much, Harvey, for your call, but we're going to move on.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye. Take care. It's an interesting point, but a little off topic for me this morning. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Jason. You're on the air. Hi, Mike. I take it back. You're on the air.
Yes.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Yeah, I have something that should have and still could happen. The civil rights movement sit-ins at the cafes and the markets, doing sit-ins and getting arrested, that sort of thing. You didn't hear about sit-ins at... gun ranges.
Wouldn't that be an interesting thing? What would that look
absolutely.
Like?
Absolutely. I mean, it would have been pretty ugly then. Heroic, of course. Provocative, a little dangerous. It needs to happen now. Because certainly...
You first.
This isn't even my opinion. This is just a fact that these... shooting ranges and so forth. Cops, of course, go in and out, which is, you know, a good thing. People need to be trained in what they do. And, of course, self-defense and hunting, all that. But that doesn't gloss over the fact that they are just clubhouses for racist, good old boys, crap kicker attitude, you know, which some of the other callers have referred to. I would love to see not sit-ins, because you wouldn't have to sit in legally.
I'm missing your point entirely.
I would love to see occupying rights.
Okay. Thanks. Thank you very much for your call. I still miss your point. But let's go ahead and talk to Jason. Good morning, Jason. You're on the air.
Hi, Ani. My point is people aren't discussing one thing a lot, and that's the gender factor. What happens in these mass shootings is 69-1, the ratio is men to women. This is pretty astonishing and shows what is trying to be done. These shooters aren't insane. They're overwhelmingly white guys.
Yep.
And they have guns. They choose to use them in a certain way, oppressing, killing, et cetera. You know, it's online. You can see other perspectives. There's the Black Panthers decided to have guns. That was in direct response to police violence.
Yep.
Mass shootings were involved. They had a different perspective. Anyways, I just wanted to bring up the gender aspect of things. I wish people discussed that a bit more.
And so when you're saying you bring up the gender aspect of things, you're talking about the victims of mass shootings being two-thirds women?
I'm also talking about that. I was talking about overwhelmingly the actual shooters are men.
Well, yes.
Yeah, but
and
yes,
overwhelmingly white men. It's true.
Overwhelmingly, yeah. And overwhelmingly the victims are women. Some of them are explicitly going for women.
Yes.
Anyways, love your show. I think it does a lot to help me feel sensible. The mass media makes me want to feel a little crazy, the perspectives they have. So
we'll turn them
off.
Thank you very much for your call this morning.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right.
Take good care. I'm going to actually say that the guys, overwhelmingly white guys, that are doing these mass shootings are insane. I mean, this is not the response of a well-adjusted, happy human being.
That's in my way right? of looking at what a well-adjusted human being would be like. No.
Not that. But again, it's that insanity that is egged on by particular parts of our culture and actually supported by certain parts of our culture. And certainly the class or subculture of the anti-hero. For folks that have delved into the Twitterverse, there's been a lot of mention of a 4chan chat thread the night before and morning of yesterday's shooting.
Would you explain that?
I'm going to try. So there are parts of the internets that many of us don't know about, okay?
And generally, I'm happy with that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. There's a thing called 4chan. I personally have never looked there. I know some teenagers that have told me about it at certain times. I know some younger folks. Yeah. You know, but for those of us who say use the internet to find information out about things, you know, researching or seeing what movies are on or, you know, looking up fun trivia facts or getting lost in Wikipedia or YouTube videos, 4chan doesn't really enter our consciousness. This is sort of a discussion site where people post all manner of things. Much of it, I would say, I would find completely horrifying and distasteful. Okay? I really don't know much about it. I have heard about it a few times.
And what about
then yesterday
this?
It comes to light that there was a discussion on 4chan where somebody is threatening to do this thing that happened. And there's a fair amount of evidence, perhaps. There's a fair amount of thought, I'll put it that way, that in fact this was the shooter before he went off and shot. There is an overwhelming response of other people posting saying, oh yeah, this is the time of the beta male revolution. It's on. Do it. Show them. First of all, I got to say, what the hell is that? Because I don't even know. These are terms used in places on the internets in their own subculture that, frankly, I'm completely unaware of. And I'm looking at Lynn's face, and I see that she's even less aware of it than I am. And I can't see all your faces out there, but I can see a couple. And I see you two are like, what the hell? So I am going to actually spend some time looking into some different types of subcultures that, frankly, they move amongst us. And I don't even know they exist. What the hell is the beta male revolution? The time is now. What is that about? Because I'm saying it's based in misogyny. There was a whole lot of, yeah, you know, you'll show them that you're really a guy that they should have gone out with. There was a whole lot of that sort of talk. I was chilled. I found it more horrifying than just about anything else I've read recently. I went through and I read the thread that somebody archived and posted, and I was absolutely sickened. I just want to throw it out there in case you've never heard of it. Then know that there is a particular subculture that supports and encourages this behavior, right? And that is a huge part of the problem. That is at least as much of a problem as actual access to guns. But I'm going to say, without the access to guns, maybe that wouldn't be as much of a problem.
It's hard to run into a room and stab people.
Well, you can do it, but not as many.
And you can easily, yeah.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And let alone bare hands.
You have something to say, don't you?
I do. Coming up this morning on KBOO. At 9 on Political Perspectives, we hear activist and KBOO host Joanne Hardisi's keynote address at KBOO's annual meeting held this past Sunday. At 10, Air Cascadia is off today. We'll hear Flashpoints, which will present an encore broadcast of David Talbot and Peter Dale Scott in conversation, exposing the CIA, the secret government's war on democracy. At 11, on Intersections, radio host Shakira Mehta looks at walkable communities and social justice.
health privacy, and a death South Asian American story. Thank you to all KBOO members, including those who pledged during our recent membership drive. You can still contribute. Don't let it stop you because the membership drive is over.
It's never over.
Never, never, never. By going to KBOO.FM and clicking on Donate Today, go right ahead and do that.
Won't you?
Won't you please?
All right. Oh, look at that. We're at 601 likes.
Oh, thanks, people.
503-231-8187, the number to call. You can, in fact, like us on Facebook, where you can find us Positively Revolting. We are posting articles a mile a minute this morning because we're not actually getting the time to talk about them on the air. So we're going to post them, and we're going to have another program really focusing on human rights coming up very soon. That said, now let's go ahead and take another call. Good morning,
Barth.
Barth, you're on the air.
Good morning, ladies. Thank you again for your good work. A couple of more disturbing aspects of this came up as I was listening to the other non-commercial channel, quote-unquote. They said that there are mass shootings in this country in the last year, more than one a day.
Yeah.
That's something that's gotten almost no press that I've heard. That's extremely crazy. There was a witness who said that the shooter asked people to stand and state what their religion was before he shot some of them or before he opened fire on the room. I heard that on OPB by the woman's voice on radio.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What's that all about?
Yeah. I had seen an initial report yesterday. I didn't hear that. I've heard about that this morning. I saw an initial report yesterday saying that he asked the question, but then started shooting people before they actually answered, too. So,
okay.
I have no idea what to make of that. Yeah.
There was a talk about not mentioning the shooter's name.
Well, that was the sheriff, but you know, you can't.
Well, and to be to give him as much credit as he gets, there was a thought around some of these mass shootings. I started hearing this discussion some months ago because we've had so much practice, right? We get to have this discussion often, and that is sickening in and of itself. That they believe that a lot of these guys are doing it for glory, that they want to go down in infamy, that they want to be remembered as the guy that wouldn't take no more and shot up a room full of people. And so by the sheriff not mentioning his name, the sheriff is interviewed, and you know, his rationale is he doesn't want to give the guy that recognition. He doesn't want to give the guy that glory, thinking that perhaps if no one actually calls them by name afterwards, that this problem will go away because that these men are attention seeking. I think that's naive, but that's me.
I think that that is a simplistic view, but I also support the idea in the abstract that these guys don't get giant headlines.
Yeah.
You know, that there's been more than a few already apprehended or interdicted at shooting, potential shooting sites where they say, well, you know, I want to be, you know, more famous than dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
You know, and that by this, you know, they figure that many of them figure that they are going to be dead either by their own hand or by suicide by cop. And that if they go out in a blaze of glory, you know, that that will be a tribute that they could never attain in their otherwise apparently fairly obscure lives. So that is what it is, and I think that's an idea worth mentioning. One of your callers said that shooting ranges are primarily racist, lunkhead, shit kickers, and that
you really have to
You know what, Bart?
Careful on the language.
Yeah, we're going to have to possibly...
And actually, we are going to let you go because we have a couple more people to squeeze on here. But, Bart, thank you very much for your call this morning. And Mad flapping over the beeping button. Now we can go ahead and let's talk to Martha. Good morning, Martha.
Kind of ramble a little bit.
Hi, Martha.
I was raised on a farm. We had guns. Dad had built his own gun cabinet. We put them in there. It was never the center of attention or focus. Yes, we butchered our own animals. He shot the cows. We butchered them. He shot the pigs, and we butchered them. He had one handgun. He had bought it off when he was in World War II off of another soldier that had gotten it from a German soldier, I guess. I don't even know if he had bullets for it. Handguns are made to kill people, period. Yeah. That's the only reason they're made for.
Or whatever animal you wish to kill.
Yeah, we never even thought of getting into that gun cabinet. You know, we were so busy on the farm, I don't think we had time. And then when people are shooting like they're doing now, obviously they've got a mental problem. You know, it's back to putting them in jail. That does not do anything. If they've got a mental problem, they need a hospital and they need to be cared for properly. I just have a hard time with a lot of that. We don't have anything for our kids to do besides balls. You know, ball games here, ball games there.
Well, there are people, there are a lot of, and I hate to bring this up, video games.
Oh, yeah.
And also, if you look at entertainment in general, there's generally quite a lot of shooting going on.
Exactly.
Because shooting is entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I agree with that, you know. And
Which, on the farm, you also, did you have TV?
Yes, but if it was a nice day, we were outside because Mom wouldn't let us come in. We watched TV on rainy days.
Right.
Okay.
And so it was, you know, we just didn't do it. The other thing is, you know, you take away... You know, you don't have that many 4-H clubs anymore, FFA, you know, obviously I'm talking a farm thing. But, you know, when you think 4-H, they think cows, horses, you know, and FFA. It doesn't have to be that. You can have baking. You can have quilting, sewing, knitting.
Okay, I gotcha.
You know, they've not given the kids any other options besides bouncing a ball. If you don't want to bounce a ball.
Okay.
You
know. Actually, I think bouncing a ball would be great. At this point, you know that
exactly,
with the.
But my point is, not all of them fit into that category.
Sure.
And there's other options out there. We don't give them enough variety to choose from something good to do.
Thank you so much for your comments this morning, Martha.
Again,
I think we're running out of show here.
We are. We just have about 4 minutes left. We haven't actually talked about any international human rights abuses.
Because we're so full of them here.
Which is true. We are. And in fact, you know, of course, planning the show, we did not know. This is the thing about live talk radio. You can make your plans. You can go forward. And then things happen that are current and relevant that people need to talk about. I want to, before we go, though, actually say that December 10th is International Human Rights Day. And so look for us returning to the topic of international human rights when we reconvene in December. Meanwhile, Mike, we have just about 2 minutes. Nope, Mike is gone. Okay, that's probably fine because really 2 minutes would have been stretching that. Do want to encourage you to follow along on Facebook. You can like us where we are Positively Revolting. You can follow along on Twitter at Positive Revolt. You can email us at gmail.com. We are there at positivelyrevolting@gmail.com as well.
And then there's the Twitter sphere.
I did that.
You did it right.
Yeah,
I'm
did
sorry.
That. All right. So, you know, there are so many things. The false confessions under torture in this country are a serious violation of human rights. I would encourage people to read the UN Declaration of Human Rights. I would encourage people to learn about the very current case that is going on in Saudi Arabia, Ali Mohammed al-Namir, who is the 21-year-old man who is slated to be crucified and beheaded because he took part in some protests when he was 17. That's really horrifying, right? We're talking 2015, and Ali Mohammed al-Nimr is scheduled to be crucified in Saudi Arabia for protesting the government.
Crucifixion is not enough.
And I just want to say Saudi Arabia is our ally and was just, just voted on to take a term for 2 years, 2014 to 2016, on the UN Human Rights Council. I want to know what on earth
they're heading it.
Saudi Arabia is doing on a Human Rights Council. That matter, I want to know what the U.S. is doing on a Human Rights Council. Okay, so there's actually Wikipedia... I'm sorry, WikiLeaks dropped a little information saying that there was a quid pro quo and Britain had a whole lot to do with getting Saudi Arabia that seat. Check into that scandal, won't you? There's so much more to be talked about. Sorry, we're out of time. And with that, we make way for the incomparable Radio Zine.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
There comes a time when every second, every day, when every action, every thought will tell the world how you cast your vote.